Welcome, Circle of Life coaches. This is our EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique class. This is going to be led by Cheryl Harrell, who is a certified Circle of Life coach, among other things. And we're really excited about having this class to empower you with these fabulous tools of how to have breakthroughs emotionally, physically, spiritually, that are just really literally at our fingertips. And I want to introduce Cheryl, who came to the Circle of Life training in Colorado, Fort Collins, Colorado, almost 5 years ago in 2005. And I, as I always do, introduce a little bit of the EFT because I've been using it probably about 8 or 10 years in different ways, my own style of it for many years. All of you have it in your participant guidebook, and that's a version that Dr. Roger Yanka and I designed. Has the same principles that tapping points and using messages can help to free up the emotional self, free up energy, and to help people to make a breakthrough in a very pretty easy way to shift your energy. So I want to welcome Cheryl. Cheryl took the training again about 5 years ago, and one thing that she did is she ran a group with single parents, and she did a little perceived stress scale assessment before and after the group, and I will send that all to you. It's on the Circle of Life Coach Tools page. But I just wanted to talk about that for a minute because it was such a great that you did, and that the group that she had of single parents, it was a small group, about 5 or 6 people, but by the end of the 8 weeks, they had decreased their stress by 40%. And now that is very significant. And we know that when people diminish their stress, that they're more capable of being happier and healthier and able to create the kind of lives they really want to create. So I just want to commend you on that, Cheryl. You were just, you know, you just go for it.
Thanks.
So Cheryl, if you could just tell us more about you, what your background is, and then just take it from there. And I may star 6-2 so that any sounds here may not interrupt your call.
Right.
But we'll just...
So thank you for, Rebecca, for inviting me, I guess it was more I invited myself.
Well, you gave me the offer, and I was thrilled. So first of all, again, I want to thank you so much, Cheryl, for this generous gift that I think is really a tremendous offer because it really does help each of us individually as well as our clients and our group. So thank you so much.
Well, it's my honor. I'm so glad to be here, glad to be doing this, and I'm excited about it. I typically teach the workshops live and in person. So I'm teaching them live and in person and, you know, over the phone line. So that's pretty incredible. I'm excited
mm-hmm.
about that. It's a new way, a new mode for me to be able to do this. So I'm excited. And my background is I have a master's degree in applied behavioral science. I've been working with single-parent students at a community college here in Fort Collins for nearly 8 years. And the first couple of years that I was here, I had some resources for the students, but oftentimes I felt like they would leave and major shifts hadn't taken place in their lives. And so I started looking for, certainly life coaching, and then when the opportunity for Circle of Life came along, I took that as a way to build my tools for being able to support the people that I work with. And I love the population. They are so determined and have such an amazing ability to hang in there and persevere, oftentimes not knowing that there are ways that they can persevere and be determined and change their life condition without it being stressful for them. So I was always looking for tools. And so when the Circle of Life coach training happened and we were exposed to EFT, I thought it was fun. I particularly liked the monkey tapping. That was really fun for me. I thought that was great. And then it was a couple of months after that that I had a newsletter from a group back east, Women to Women, and they send out a news, health newsletter for women. And they had an article in there about stress management, and they focused on EFT. And they happened to give Gary Craig, who is the developer of EFT, they mentioned his website. So I went onto the website, and I just immediately resonated with it. I just realized that this was a valuable tool. Gary's philosophy has always been that he wanted people to know about this. He wanted the technique to be available so that that everyone, you know, sort of everyone could have that freedom at their fingertips, and downloaded the manual and started my training process at that point. And then a few months after that, so this would have been from May at Sunrise Circle, and then midsummer, and then in September I had an opportunity to do an in-person training down in Boulder, and I took that opportunity, and then since then have been to several trainings. I just recently finished, completed the CERT 1 training, which is the self-study, and then took the exam for that. So I have taken this and made it my own. I use it personally. I use it with my family. I use it with my friends. And I use it with clients. I use it at the school. When students come in, often we'll come in with things like math phobia and public speaking fears. Stress is very high for single parent program participants, and their just their lives are pretty stressful. So I introduce it as I have a technique that I know that may bring some relief. It may be math phobia, whatever the issue they're coming in with, and I just, you know, I ask them. I said, would you like to try this? And typically don't go into a whole lot of detail about it, not a lot of background or theory about it. We just start tapping. We start with the process. I introduce them to it, and I have had amazing results. I haven't. The students have had amazing results with using it, from, you know, not being able to do public speaking to really hating math, and having, you know, we've had some issues about, or people working on issues with their family of origin. So it's one of those techniques that you can use for immediate relief for issues that are happening in the present, technique that you can use for issues that are from the past, things that haven't been healed or forgiven, and they're still affecting you in the present. And it also can be used for those things that you're anticipating may be stressful for you. And that public speaking is a really good example of that, when people have anticipatory stress, that they're thinking about what it's going to be like to do public speaking. So I have used it in the Circle of Life. I do a Circle of Life group typically one time a year. We just started one last Saturday. We had a mini retreat, and then we'll do a 6-week a group, and then end up with a little celebration retreat at the end. They will be introduced to EFT also as one of their tools for mind-body health and wellness. So I get very excited about EFT. I think that it's one of those techniques that is very gentle and very powerful. It is simple to learn. It can be applied, you know, it can be applied very easily. It's, again, freedom at your fingertips. And I notice that the shifts that take place with people, that sometimes if they had set goals and so forth, that they were running into difficulties or running into self-talk, negative self-talk, or running into different barriers that were coming up. And with EFT, we've been able to look at the self-talk, look at the pieces that are difficult for the people that are in the Circle of Life groups, as well as the individual coaching that I do with the students. So with that, I'm going to just go ahead and just start with just the slideshow and go through this process. You all are going to get an opportunity. I imagine that some of you already apply EFT, and that's great. And others, this will be your first exposure to it. So what I'd like to do is just go through, starting with slide one. And this is would be a typical presentation that I would do for faculty, staff, and students on campus who are interested in stress management. I always talk about it from the perspective of stress management, stress mastery. I presented just before the holidays on holiday stress and had a group. It was for the community at large as well as the community college faculty and staff, and it was very well received. So this would be the typical way that I would present to folks who haven't had any exposure to necessarily to mind-body practices, although I always introduce emotional freedom techniques as the emotional version of acupuncture, and have folks say, you know, have you heard of acupuncture? Have you done acupuncture in your life? Some of them have, some of them haven't. And I just describe this as it's a technique that's for the emotions, and it's without needles. It's based on the same principles as meridian therapy or energy meridians that, through Chinese medicine, we know that there are energy meridians that run through the system, and that by tapping on these endpoints of these meridian system, the meridians, that we can get relief, whether it be physical relief from pain or emotional relief or stress relief, whatever, that we can use this. I talked to folks about how we unconsciously go to comfort spots on our body. If we're stressed, we might massage under our eyes, rub our temples, might put our hand or our palm to our chest, typically over our heart, fold our arms, wring our hands, even biting our nails or biting our fingers. I should have had a V8, the heel to the forehead, the heel of your hand to your forehead, that one. And just say that, you know, we know about these comfort spots. We know that we go to them, but we do this unconsciously. And one of the things about, and the genius of EFT, is that you can take that negative thought or that the feeling that you're having, whatever it is, and you can pull up what bothers you and work on this intentionally. Work on these comfort spots, basically, is what it comes down to, because they're in our fingertips, they're, you know, on our face and our upper torso. This is typically where we work with EFT, and we can focus our intention on finding relief by using a series of touches or taps that we're going to be tapping on our own body. So we balance the energy system, change the negative thought, and that equals not having a negative emotion. And so it can be a very powerful technique that way. And typically, the types of issues that respond to EFT are physical symptoms, mentioned those before, worries, upsets, irritations, negative beliefs, performance anxiety, charged memories. And Gary Craig has said, try it on everything. He's very clear about, you know, we know where, as practitioners, our boundaries are as far as what we can and can't treat. For instance, I don't have any background with post-traumatic stress syndrome. I don't have any background with working with students or individuals in that area. I probably would work with them a little bit to see if we could get some relief, but I would want them to work with, and I would want to work in concert with another professional who had more experience with that. But trying it on everything means, you know, my experience is the first training that I went to, we were working on trauma. That was the focus of the EFT training that I went to. And I was trying to pull up a trauma, and I'd had a car accident when I was about 17. And, you know, you'd think, sort of state the obvious, Cheryl. Well, I had driving anxiety from the time I was 17 until this training that we're looking at, like 8 years ago, now, not 8 years ago, I'm sorry, 5 years ago or a little less than that. And I had driving anxiety. I would drive out on the freeway and feel like I was going to lose control of the car. And just it's pretty intense for me to drive, not in towns, but typically at high speeds and so forth. So the person that I was working with, I just said, well, you know, I had this car accident. And so we did some EFT on it, and we were partnered, so we traded back and forth. And that was the last day of the training. And I went to, the last day of the training, and I left and was about, I don't know, halfway home from Boulder, and I realized I didn't have driving anxiety. It was gone completely. No trace of it. And we're talking many decades of suffering through this. So I know from personal experience how powerful it can be. I know from personal experience just in that, and it hasn't come back. And typically that's what Gary would say, is you try it on everything. You see what, you know, if you can get some relief from that, that's great. If you can get some peace of mind from it, that's wonderful. And usually the experience is that when you work on an issue and you get really specific about it, that it doesn't come back. So that's one way that I know that it's worked for me. The benefits of EFT are decreasing anxiety, increasing body awareness, and also enables positive cognitive shifts. And I think that's big with coaching, because I, when I've been working with the students, I was noticing how their goals that they were setting, the things that they were doing, the hopes that they had the barriers that were coming up, and that they, with EFT, they've been able to make amazing cognitive shifts in working towards reaching their goals. So we're just going to talk a little bit about the EFT's basic recipe. I think it's really important. From my perspective, it's important to know the foundation and kind of the basic recipe, and then people have expanded on this. I try to very consciously be attentive to the theory and concepts that Gary Craig put forth. And then, like everything else, I've made it my own. There are some things that I still, it looks like I'm using the basic recipe, and I deviate from it. So I just want you to know that's one of the things that will happen with a technique, is that you'll, if you decide to get DVDs and so forth, and you look at it, it goes, it's a very step-by-step process. And then, as Rebecca said, that she and Roger have made that process their own, which, you know, any practitioner I've seen has done that. So the process itself is easy to follow, it's simple to do, and it takes about 1 minute to complete, not very long at all to go through the process. The four main ingredients, when you're thinking about this as being a basic recipe, the setup phrase, which is acknowledging the problem or the difficulty, and affirming that even if I have this problem, that I still love myself, I'm still, you know, I can forgive myself, all of those things. Then you go through the sequence. The sequence is the series of tapping spots. Then there's a process called nine gamut. Nine gamut is a brain balancing process, so that it balances the left and right brain. And then you repeat that sequence. And so that's very basically the basic recipe. There is, as far as getting to going through the sequence and the recipe itself, a practitioner, EFT master, whose name is Gwyneth Moss, M-O-S-S, she has a website, lives in the UK, has a wonderfully proper British accent. She's just a delightful being, has a way of framing three steps and then doing it again by calling it the ABC, EFT's ABCs. So first, the first part of it is A, which is assess. You want to pick an issue, one that you'd like to work on today, and this is what I would be telling folks in the workshop. How much does it bother you now? When you assess, you want to make sure that you pick the issue and you talk about, on a scale of 0 to 10, how much does it bother you right now? Is it a 1? Is it a 9? Is it a 13? I've heard that. And you want to pick that as from that scale of, you know, no problem at all at 0, 10 is pretty bad. So when I'm doing this workshop in person, I'll say when I experience stress when in traffic jams or when I'm in lines or I have a work overload, or you want to name your stress. That might be traffic stress. It might be line stress. It might be money stress. But you want to name it. You want to give it a name as part of your assessment. Also part of the assessment is, how does your body tell you that you're stressed? Do you get a headache, a stomach ache? Do you feel it in your shoulders? Is there a tightness in your back? Are you anxious somewhere in your body? Wherever it is, you want to make sure that you identify it as part of that assessment. And part of the assessment can also include, when I feel stressed, when I'm stressed, I feel sad, glad, mad, anxious, abandoned. I mean, it can be the full gamut of feelings that a person might experience. The second part of it is you want to balance, which is the B. You want to balance. And the balance is doing the setup. That's the part that we talked about in the basic recipe. The setup is to tap on, and if you're looking at, hopefully you're looking at your the other handout with the tapping points on there. The karate chop is that place if you were doing karate and you wanted to take a stack of wood or whatever and chop on it. It would be that fleshy part. You can also shake hands with yourself if you can do that and kind of making friends with your karate chop point, or making friends with the problem, basically, is what you're doing. And that's the karate chop points, because you're going to make friends with it. And even though, when you're stating this, you're going to say, even though I have this problem, even though I'm stressed, even though I'm feeling sad, even though I have this stomach ache or these shoulder pains, I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway. And when you're tapping, this is the first point that you would be tapping, you're tapping about five to seven times. You're tapping gently but firmly enough that you feel it. So it's not just tickling your hand or tickling the other tapping points. You really are tapping so that you can firmly feel it. And then you would repeat you're repeating the second portion of it, the balance portion of it, the setup phrase three times. So even though I have this problem, I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway. Even though I have this problem, I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway. And even though I have this problem, I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway. And finally, the third part is clear. You're clearing out the problem, and that's the tapping. That's the sequence of tapping that you're doing on the points while you're focusing on the problem. You're actually saying, you're repeating at each point out loud, this pain, this fear, this anxiety, this stress, whatever you've named your problem, you're focusing on it as you go down the tapping points. And they typically go from up to down, you know, from the top part of the body down. And then the D part of this would be do it again. But so let's look at the basic recipe, the sequence, the long form of EFT. So we're going to talk about the long form. This is the one that Gary Craig developed. He brought it out from Thought Field Therapy, which was Roger Callahan's way of algorithm method of doing tapping, meridian therapy, and he simplified it to what he discovered was you can actually, without doing a particular algorithm for each problem that might be coming up, that you can do just by tapping on these individual spots, that you're covering all the tapping points without having to worry about remembering, well, which algorithm do I need to use at this for this problem, and which one do I need to use for this one? So he just developed this sequence of tapping points that just covers all, basically all of them. So the eyebrow point is just at the edge of your eyebrow. If you're tapping on this, which I hope that you just kind of tap along with me to get familiar with these, it's the eyebrow. You're not tapping on the third eye area. You're a little lower than that. And if you just feel where the edge of your eyebrow, the closest to the bridge of your nose, that would be, that's the eyebrow point right there. You can use one hand or two hands. You can cross over and use your right hand on your left side and vice versa. You know, however it's comfortable for you. Typically, people will tap with their dominant hand. I do use two hands. I tap on the tapping points on the upper part of my face with two hands. And then, okay, so the next one is the side of the eye, and you're not all the way out on the temple, but it's in the same region. Just bring your fingers a little closer to the edge where the eye socket bone is, and you can feel that just right there at the edge of your eyes. So you don't poke yourself in the eye now, but you want to move your fingers in from the temple to that bone area that's just right there, just before your eyeball. And then under the eye, you're almost directly under the pupil. You're still on the bone. You're not all the way down in the cheek. You're up in the eye socket bone, just directly under. Just directly under where your pupil would be. And then under the nose is just above your upper lip and below your nose, that kind of little indentation area that's there. And then chin is just above the chin, but not on the lip. There's, again, a little valley or indentation there. The collarbone spot is a couple ways that you can... You can actually tap just about an inch below where the nubs of your collarbone are, and just slightly below that. I also have seen and will also do, I will stretch out my hand and actually tap my full hand just above where my heart is, just under my collarbone. So either way, it works just fine. And then under the arm is about 4 inches down from your armpit, just kind of in alignment with where your nipple would be, but under your arm. So that's about how far down it is. So if we're going to move into the finger.
Excuse me one moment. Is everybody on star 6? Because I'm hearing a little bit of background noise. Make sure you're all star 6 so that you're muted. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Cheryl. Good. It's great.
Okay. So,
tapping away here.
Yay. Tap, tap, tap. So now what I want you to do is I'm right-handed, so I'm using my right hand to tap with, and I'm tapping on my left hand. So if you're you can do it either way. If you're left-handed and you want to just do the opposite of what I'm saying, that's fine. Just hold out your left hand. Just hold up your hand as if you're, you know, just your fingers are just, you're just holding it up and you're looking at it. You're looking at the back of your hand where your knuckles are. And I want you to look at your thumb, and the area that's around your fingernail or your thumbnail that's closest to your body, not the one that's closest to your index finger, but the one that's closest to your body. So that side of your thumb is where you would tap. You'd just use a couple of fingers. That's pretty much how you could tap, you know, anywhere on your body. But you're tapping at the edge of the thumbnail. Okay. And then index finger, same thing. The portion of the edge of your nail that's closest to your body, not the one that's closest to your middle finger, but the one that's closest to your body. And same thing with your middle finger. Okay. For this purpose, we're going to skip the ring finger and go to the baby finger. So we tap on that. We go back to the karate chop point. And then we start the nine gamut sequence. And the gamut spot can be found in the little valley that's closest to your baby finger and your ring finger knuckles. You just go in between those two, and you'll come to kind of a little indentation area. And you can feel it. Almost everyone can feel it. It's right there. And EFT is so forgiving. Even if you were a little bit off, or even sometimes a lot off, it would be okay. But you just tap on that. And as you're tapping, this is the chewing gum and walking at the same time process. And I laugh a lot with the clients that I'm working with. I often tell them this is going to be some of the silliest stuff that you see, but that's okay. It works. So if it's silly, so what? So you would start out tapping, and you would have your eyes open. And then the next instruction would be your eyes closed. And then what you would do is you would tell, as I'm going to tell you, just have your eyes, open your eyes again, and then just look straight ahead. And without moving your head, you want to look hard down left. So you're looking down to the floor left and hard down right. And then you're going to, when I'm working with clients, you would see me do a circle that's clockwise in front of them, and I would have them move their eyes, circle their eyes clockwise, and then counterclockwise. And then have them hum a tune, something like, "Happy birthday is easy to remember." And then count to five, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then hum again. Okay, so that is the long version, and you actually go through you start again with the eyebrow, and you go through the whole process again without the nine gamut. And then you assess again. You're going to say, okay, after I did this process, where am I on that scale now? If I was a 5 before or an 8 before, where am I now when I name whatever the issue is, where am I now on that scale? And you want to note if there's a change up or down, because sometimes the shift will be up, and you want to do a little bit of investigative work and ask the person, are they still working on that same issue? If they named it and they said that, you know, the emotion that came up had been fear before and now it's anger, you know that they've shifted what we call aspects. And so you want to kind of go back to them and say, okay, well, you were feeling fear before, and that was about an 8. Where would that fear be now? And they go, oh, okay, well, you know, I'm not fearful anymore, but I am really angry about this, and my anger is about a 7. So that's very, very key as far as effectively working with EFT, is that you kind of do the little detective work and determine if a person has shifted aspects. Sometimes it can be shifting emotional aspects. Sometimes it can be shifting memory aspects. Sometimes it can even be shifting physical pain aspects. The pain may start out in one place, and they'll say, well, you know, I don't feel that anymore, but, you know, now that neck tension is gone, but now my head hurts back here, or my head hurts up here at the top. So know that the process is working, and now you need to go back and start with A again and assess, well, okay, so now you have this headache. It was kind of neck tension before, and it's now you have this headache at the top of your head. where would you rate that on a scale of 0 to 10? Where would you rate that now? And just know that's, I think, one of the key principles of EFT that sometimes is forgotten, especially when we first start out, is that, oh, it didn't work because I feel angry about this, or I still have this headache, or I have this headache now. And so just know that shifting aspects is actually really good, because you're clearing out, as you go through that process, you're clearing out all the different aspects. So then what you would do is you would go back and clear again, modify any words that, if it's still, if you still have the same headache or you still have the same stress, then what you would do is you would just modify your words about in terms of when you're doing the setup phrase. You would say, even though I still have some of this headache, or I still have some of this anger, or I still have some of this disappointment, I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway. So what I would like to do now, before we continue on, is I would like to have you experience EFT using we'll just go through a breath exercise. So what I'd like for you to do is just take a couple of natural breaths, just breathe like you naturally would. And then what I'd like for you to do is inhale as deeply as you can. And wherever you are as far as inhaling is concerned, I'd like for you to rate that. There'll be I'm going to shift something here, because I'm going to have you rate this on a 0 to 10 scale, 10 being good, meaning that's a really deep breath that you've taken. So typically when we're doing the high stress, that 10 is like, really, this is an intense thing. But for this purpose, where a deep breath is, you're aiming for a 10. And if you just jot that down and say, okay, so this is how deeply I breathed. Okay. So everybody just do that. Okay. So, you have your number, how deeply you've breathed in, and we're going to go ahead and start tapping. Wherever that number is, you can think of it however you want to, and we're going to start tapping on the karate chop, and we'll start with the setup phrase. Even though I have this constricted breathing, I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway. Even though I'm breathing at a, and you put in the number, whatever number you have, I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway. Even though I think I could breathe more deeply, I have this constricted breathing, I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway. So we'll move from the setup to the sequence. So now we're going to be doing that balancing. So on the eyebrow point, this constricted breathing, and you can either say this to yourself or out loud. If you don't have anyone around your house, saying it out loud is great. It helps you focus. So that's the eyebrow point. Eye, this constricted breathing. Under the eye, this constricted breathing. Under the nose, this number breathing. Chin, this constricted breathing. Collarbone, this constricted breathing. Under the arm, this number breathing. Thumb, this constricted breathing. This constricted breathing. Index finger, this constricted breathing. Middle finger, this number breathing. Little finger, this constricted breathing. Karate chop, this constricted breathing. Gamut spot, this number breathing. Close your eyes. Open your eyes. Look down left. Eyes down right. And just imagine me in front of you doing a clockwise circle, and you follow my fingers in a clockwise circle. Now I'll follow my fingers in a counterclockwise circle. Keep tapping, humming. Count to five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hum a tune. Go back to the eyebrow point. This constricted breathing. This number 9 breathing, or whatever number it was. This constricted breathing. This number breathing. This breath. And just keep following down the sequence under the eye, under the nose, this constricted breathing, chin, collarbone, this breathing, under the arm, this breathing. Okay, what I'd like for you to do is just take a natural breath. And now breathe in deeply. And assess where your breath is now. And what I'd like to hear from folks, as many as you'd like, is like to hear if that changed. If your breath changed, if it went deeper, if it went from, let's say you were breathing at a 6 and now you're breathing at a 10. So if people are just kind of...
Just unmute yourself, and if you want to share, just do *6, just what you noticed.
This is Teresa. I was a 7, and I was clearly a 10 the second time. I had no restriction.
Okay. Excellent.
Woo-hoo.
Excellent. Excellent. Good. Anyone else?
It's Rebecca. I went from a 7 to a 9.
Okay. All right.
And I thought I was really taking in a deep breath. So I was really trying, you know, to take a deep breath. And so, and it just was that when I realized it was about a 7, and then I realized, you know, it had shifted, I really had more capacity.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really think it is about building capacity. I love that. I love that word. I use building capacity a lot, not only for breathing, but just in our lives in general. And so this is a wonderful way to introduce, and before I say any more, is there anyone else that would like to share? Anyone else had a shift? And again, it can be up or down.
Hi, this is Mari.
Like
I was just going to say that I also had a shift from about a 7 to a 9 or 10.
Great. Okay.
Thank you.
So this is a wonderful way to introduce EFT to folks, that you know, it could be in a group setting, it could be individually. I often will do this with individuals when I first start out. I'll say, well, I want to introduce this technique to you, and we're going to work on, we're going to use it on something that everybody does, everybody breathes. And typically people will be really, they will be surprised at the shift that takes place. Now, it can go the other direction, and if it does go the other direction, if a person says, well, I'm more constricted now, then you just go back and you say, okay, you just do the exact same thing again, and you just work on it again. It hasn't not worked, and I just put that in quotes. If you could see, if I was in front of you, you'd see that I just did my little quote thing. If it's not that it hasn't worked, it's just that something else is coming up for the person, and you want to attend to that. You meet the, just like all the coaching principles say, you meet the person where they are, including with their breathing. So I appreciate you doing that with me. I think that is just maybe give you a little taste of it. And I think that the main thing that I would say about EFT, lots of things I can say about it, but one of the things is persistence. I have worked with people who have had immediate amazing results, that it's sort of, you know, it's almost so the results, meaning they shifted in where they were emotionally, their pain was relieved, they had a cognitive shift, whatever. That's what I mean by results, that I've worked with them and they made that shift. And with other people, it didn't happen so quickly. So it just takes us a little longer to work with it. But when you really go through the sequence itself, the really quick sequence, it doesn't take very long. But you do want to be persistent. I think that's one of the things that is key about this, is persistence and being a really good detective. So like on slide 13, I talk a little bit about persistence in assessing and balancing. Just as a reminder, you're going to name the issue, give it a number on that scale of 0 to 10, tap the karate chop point to start the setup. The setup is so key because oftentimes people are focusing unconsciously on whatever it is that's bothering them. It's there, it's happening, it's creating a barrier to their happiness and their freedom and their peace of mind. They might not necessarily want to talk about it, but what is so powerful about doing the setup and tapping on the karate chop point, is that you're affirming who you are anyway, that you're still lovable, that you still accept yourself, even if you've got this problem. And that's pretty revolutionary, I think, is to be able to accept ourselves with whatever's going on, and do it with this energy, with doing it using a technique that's shifting our energy. So you assess and balance, you clear, tap on the points while repeating the reminder phrase. The reminder phrase is whatever you've named that problem, whatever you have decided to call that problem that you've named it. And then you repeat that process. And then A, B, C, D is do it again. Assess, check for any aspects. If it's shifted, if it feels different now, or it's located someplace else in your body, whatever. And you modify the language to address that, whatever the, if there's a new aspect. I always aim for the intensity to be 0. Sometimes that doesn't happen, and typically that will be with folks that have chronic illnesses. It takes a little bit longer it can take, I'm not saying it always does, but it can take a little bit longer with folks that have chronic illnesses, that they getting to a 2 or a 3, a 1 or a 2 is such a tremendous relief to them that it feels like a 0. And there may be other things that are going on, physiological things and so forth, that the intensity doesn't get down to zero. But that's what I aim for. I typically will aim to get to have folks feel as much relief as it's possible for them to feel. So now on slide 14 is the shortcut. And the shortcut is basically taking in all of the points that we just covered on the face and the upper torso. It's eliminating the finger, the thumb and the finger points, and the nine gamut. And what I will do with folks is I'll go through the shortcut, just using those, you know, the ABC, assess, balance, clear, or assess and go through that balancing process using the shortcut. If there's not a relief, then I will go back and we'll add in the thumb and the finger points, and oftentimes the nine gamut as well, and then see what happens with that shift. So that's that. You can see the points are the same: the eyebrow, side of eye, under nose, above the chin, collarbone, and below the armpit, the under the arm one. And then many practitioners also will add the top of the head. And the top of the head, if you just put your thumbs at the very highest point of your ears, that's sort of where your ears are the highest point, and then where your middle fingers meet, that would be considered the top of the head. And that would be where you would tap. That's kind of the crown of the head up there, that part. So some frequently asked questions. I briefly mentioned this. Does it matter which hand? No. Can I switch hands while tapping? Yes. Can I tap with both hands? Yes. How many times do I? How many taps on each spot? 7 is most common, but sometimes more is better. I wouldn't say fewer, but by the time you do the setup, you know, by the time you're going down the sequence and you're saying this problem, whatever it is, you're tapping about 5 to 7 times. Is a setup essential? Not always, but it's necessary in the cases of psychological reversal. Let me talk a little bit about psychological reversal. This is a phrase that's coined by Roger Callahan, again, the founder, the developer of thought field therapy, TFT. And what he noticed is that people who were trying to make a change in their lives, not everyone, but some people who were trying to make a change in their lives would end up self-sabotaging. And, you know, he could see how sincere they were in making their changes. He could see how hard they were working. And he noticed that that what was happening was that people were self-sabotaging, even though there was no obvious reason for them to be doing this. And what he theorized is that in our energy system, he called it psychological reversal, which in some ways I think was kind of unfortunate because it makes it sound like it, you know, I don't know, maybe a character flaw or something that's happening in the psychology or in our psyche. But what he noticed is that the energy system with that particular issue was almost as if the batteries were in backwards. And so by tapping the karate chop and doing the setup phrase, you know, even though I have this problem, I deeply and completely love and accept myself, that corrects psychological reversal. That is one of the key things in terms of helping people move forward if they have self-sabotaging behaviors, that this is one of the key things, is that you can, you know, with some certainty, be aware that they have psychological reversal. So, will EFT take away any natural and healthy emotional responses to situations? No, absolutely not. You still feel, you still experience life. It's not about numbing you. It's about opening up, again, I love that word capacity, your capacity to feel more joy, more peace, relief in your life. That's the purpose. And sometimes people, you know, this EFT has been used a lot with phobias, and some of the DVDs show people with, like, snake phobias and that sort of thing. You know, you don't become stupid because you're not afraid of the snakes anymore. You recognize that snakes can be still dangerous, and so you may have a curiosity about them, but you know that you're not going to go over there and just, like, pick them up and pet them and those sorts of things. You don't lose your intelligence because you lose your fear. And I think that has been a discussion. I remember having that discussion at a training. It's like, you know, our fear is really healthy. It really protects us. And I think that is true, that we have healthy fear. We have healthy awareness of danger around us. But when it's something that's on the level of a phobia, it's overwhelming to us. It takes over our lives. So you're bringing the fear into an area, the awareness of danger, you're bringing it into a realistic experience. Okay, so, all righty. I've listed some websites that have mostly to do with meridian energy therapy. I did list Gary Craig's website where you can download a free manual. There's an archive, a library of different questions that people have asked and practitioners or experiences that people have had, and practitioners have written in and said, this is how I use this for this particular issue. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of archived experiences. I don't want to call them testimonials because they're really not testimonials. They really are they inform you as well as inspire. So, the first one is the AAMET. It's a UK, but it's a great organization. ASEP, you probably know about, the Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychology, and then Association for Meridian Therapies. And if you were interested in any practitioners, if you know any practitioners, I just didn't list specifically ones. I mean, I have some that are my favorite, like I mentioned, Gwyneth Moss, Carol Look. I really appreciate Carol Look a lot. She does a lot on vibration and law of attraction and using EFT to shift our vibration so that and she focuses a lot on abundance. So she's another one. Rue Haas, Hass, works with a highly sensitive temperament, people who are highly sensitive. She has been using EFT in that capacity for a long time. So I think that what I'll do is I'll just take a little breath right now. And before we move into doing the demonstrations, I will, with the volunteers, thank you, Teresa, thank you, Julie, I'll open it up and see if there are any immediate questions before we move into that piece.
Cheryl, this is Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Cheryl.
How you doing?
I am doing wonderful now. I've been tapping, so I'm really chilling.
I love it.
So I was looking at your little chart here, and I was wondering why they called out the liver spot.
Oh, the liver spot? Oh, okay. Thank you for bringing that up. There is on that spot, which is... that's on the really long, long version. I think you could tap on the side where the liver is. And the reason why it's not included in the sequence anymore is I think in demonstrations, it was a little bit awkward for women.
Gotcha.
So it got eliminated. I know some of the practitioners that I work with and that I know still use the liver spot. You can do it. You just would add it after you do the underarm, under the arm. Then you would go and tap before you go to the if you were using the long sequence with the finger points, you would use that as the the spot just before you go to the thumb. Okay.
Okay, great. Is that the same with the wrist too? Because there was something called out on the wrist.
Can use the wrist points. Again, that's it's not part of the basic recipe, but it's those, like the top of the head. It's one of those added points. You can tap your wrists together, one on top of the other, and then reverse it. You can also tap on the back of your hand down. Where it's close to where your wrist bone is, but not necessarily on the wrist bone, but it's basically just down from, say, towards your arm from where your middle finger knuckle is.
Okay.
Right by your wrist bone. You can tap there as well. Great question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Other questions? So this is either a really good sign and that I've been very thorough and there's no questions, or this is a really bad sign and you all are asleep.
I have a question.
Okay.
What about when you're tapping your fingers, if you tap your thumb on your thumb and your index on your index and that kind of thing?
That would work just fine. It's a little awkward for me, but that would work just fine. I mean, I was just experimenting with doing that, and it's easier for me to use my right hand and tap on my left thumb and my left index finger, you know, with my two right hand fingers, my index and my middle finger, as I tap. But yeah, you could do that. I've seen people do it, and I'm actually doing it right now, and that works just fine.
Or using each hand to tap each finger.
Each hand.
I've seen people do that too, haven't I? Or
maybe, yeah. So let's see. Is it kind of like clapping?
Yeah, just using your thumb, basically. I mean, using your index to tap your thumb, and then using your thumb to tap each other finger.
Yeah, there wouldn't be any reason why you couldn't do that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that what you want to do is find what's comfortable to you.
Mm-hmm.
What feels most natural.
So do you find that clients then also kind of create their own sort of sequence?
They could create their own sequence. Typically, they seem to be using the sequence that they're taught. But I will say that people find their favorite spots.
Mm-hmm.
They find their favorite tapping spots. If you eliminate one, you're not going to cause any problem. I discovered that the collarbone one is the spot where if I'm tapping on an issue that I will typically sigh, and I can tell that there's a release there that happens. So people find their favorite spots. We encourage people just for, I think, balance to, or when I'm working with them, I encourage them to at least go through one sequence where they're using, you know, where they're using the tapping points that they were instructed to use.
I have another question. I'm sorry.
No problem.
In the assessment part, when you're talking about my body tells me I'm stressed by, and when I and then the second one, when I'm stressed, I feel. Are those specifically to get people into their physical body to prepare them for the tapping in a way?
Yes.
Or to really bring up that somatic experience of whatever it is that stresses them?
Yes. And it helps to be, it helps with the process of becoming specific.
Okay, great.
So if you can name the problem and you can identify it in your body and you can talk about it, even, you know, my questions are around where do you find it in your body? Okay, so like what color is it? What shape is it? Is it sharp? Is it a dull pain? I ask those kinds of questions too, so that really are right there with it. And it does help with specific, it helps them be specific. because sometimes if we're too global, you know, it's sort of like, well, I have this, I sort of feel this pain or I sort of feel this discomfort, then you can't really determine if there's a shift that takes place. It's more difficult. You can determine
mm-hmm.
that, but it's more difficult. And so that's why the more detective work you can do to help folks be more specific, then you're helping them to be able to identify it. And like you say, get into that experience.
Last question. When
yes.
you have them hum a tune, you were just doing the first stanza of Happy Birthday to You. Is that all you need?
Yeah, just a little quick. All you're doing is a little quick ditty. You know,
okay.
and it can be anything. You know, it doesn't have to be happy birthday, but it's just really quick.
Right. But
and
that
about
much,
the
just
first
that
time.
Much. And how many times would you do the happy birthday to you? Happy birthday to you.
You just do
you
it.
Do
once.
That 7 times.
Nope. You just do it. You just when you get to that point where it says when you're on the when you're doing the 9 gamut and it says hum, mm-hmm. you just go and then you say count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hum again, and that's all. That's it.
And
you know?
So you just do all of you do each one of those things once.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Yes. Thank you all for
right.
asking. It always helps me to know where I I need to be clear.
Well, you probably are. You know, we can easily miss things. But thank you very much. I'm going to
so
mute
welcome.
Now.
You're so welcome. Other questions?
So, it's Rebecca here. I think it'd be great if we did have like a, you know, a little role play. And then I think it'd be, if people are still on the line, if people could share that are using tapping already, maybe personally in their coaching especially, and how they're using it, and or any more questions at the end.
Okay.
So, do you think if we had 20 minutes, would that allow you to do give Teresa and Julie the you know correct amount of time?
We will try for sure one person.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that and then to see what our time is after that.
Okay. So and I'll be attentive to the time too.
Okay.
All right. So I wonder, Julie or Teresa, I'm so totally willing to work with either one of you. And so, you know, which one of you would like this? I know that both of you volunteered. And so
maybe
I'm...
Maybe who needs it a little bit more right now?
Yeah, that's a good... Thank you for framing.
And this is Julie. I was just going to say, and has Teresa had experience with this before? So, because I have. So if she hasn't, then that might be a better choice.
Have you had EFT, Julie? Have you done it besides our time in training?
Yeah, I actually have had it done with different circles.
Okay. So Teresa, have you had that experience yet?
No, I haven't done it except when in Circle of Life a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, let's go with Teresa then.
Okay. Hi,
thanks,
Teresa.
Thanks, Julie.
Hi.
Welcome.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for volunteering. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah.
And just to sort of, I don't know, let you know, I was born in Atlanta.
Oh, good.
Don't sound like I was born in Atlanta, but all my family is, they're all Atlantians.
Yeah.
Or Georgians.
Well, great. I've lived here about 43 years. So.
So you've been there quite a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So thank you for filling out the EFT questions that I asked.
Yeah.
I want you to now just identify... what you'd like to work on. You've gone through the process of EFT, you've seen a little bit more about, you know, you've heard a little bit more about it. So tell me what you'd like to work on.
Well, if it was a stress item, I'm doing some more coursework and a lot of work on the computer. And I've almost gotten through the stress of just getting in the computer and a lot of formatting and whatever. But I think I've gotten some tendonitis or something in my right thumb that's going up my arm. So that's now, so that stress is coming out as real pain. And I'm thinking that just this little exercise we've been doing, that my pain is better in this in my thumb joint. So, you know, we can either work on the pain or the stress, either one.
So my feeling about it is that they're one and the same. They're just showing up in different places and in different
ways. Yep.
So let's talk a little bit more about this tendonitis in your thumb. Which thumb is it?
It's my right thumb.
Your right thumb. And
it's more up in the right up at the wrist. It's not down in the knuckle. It's where it attaches, where your thumb is. So it's distal to the nail bed. It's up at the wrist. It's in that joint. As you.
Okay. Sharp pain, dull pain?
Sharp.
Sharp?
And positional. I mean, it's clearly not, it doesn't throb. It's sharp, and it's with different positions.
Okay.
I have full range of motion. I have grip, and I can pick up things.
Without,
no, not,
without it hurting you.
Yeah.
Does it have a particular color to it?
No, I haven't noticed color.
Say again?
No, I've not noticed color.
Okay, no color. Okay. So now, without hurting yourself, position it so that you are feeling the discomfort.
Okay.
And tell me where it is on a scale of 0 to 10. 10 being, you know, Cheryl, stop this. I don't even want to do this.
Okay. I think I'm a 6.
6, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's pretty tender, but it's been more tender. So I think it's about a 6.
All right. And just tell me how you know it's a 6.
Because when I positioned it, it let off when I, you know, took it back out of that position. It let off.
Okay.
When I've had it a 10, it hangs on there for a little while, no matter what position.
All right. So when you're not putting it in that position, you don't feel it.
Not nearly as bad. It's like down to a 2.
Okay. Any emotion that's attached to this?
If there is, I'm not aware of it. I'm not aware of what emotion, other than no, I'm just not aware of emotion attached to it.
That's fine. So would you name this tendonitis? Would you name this thumb tendonitis?
Yes.
Is that what you would call it?
Is that what you're saying as far as a diagnosis of it, or
something that you would call it or name it?
Okay.
It could be as simple as thumb pain.
Yeah. That I would say wrist pain or thumb pain. Yep.
Okay. So do you want to call it wrist pain or do you want to call it thumb pain?
We'll call it wrist pain.
Okay. All right. So now I want you to start tapping on the karate chop.
Okay.
And as you're tapping on the karate chop point, I want you to say, even though. And it's helpful for me so I know where you are if you just go ahead and repeat after me. That'd be really
okay.
Even though. I have this wrist pain. And I feel it when it's positioned just so. I deeply and completely love and accept myself anyway. Even though. I have this wrist pain. And I can feel it right there.
I can feel it right there.
When it's positioned just so.
When it's positioned just so.
I deeply and completely.
I deeply and completely.
Love and accept myself anyway.
Love and accept myself anyway.
And I choose to forgive myself.
And I choose to forgive myself.
For anything I might have done.
For anything I might have done.
Or think I might have done.
Or think I might have done.
That contributed to this.
That contributed to this.
Even though.
Even though.
I have this wrist pain.
Even though I have this wrist pain.
When I position it just so.
When I position it just so.
I deeply and completely.
I deeply and completely.
Love and accept myself.
Love and accept myself.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So we're going to go through the sequence now. Eyebrow. This wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Side of the eye. This wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Under the eye. This wrist pain.
Wrist pain.
Under the nose. This wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Chin. This wrist pain.
Wrist pain.
Collarbone. This wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Under the arm. This wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Thumb. This wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Finger. You can go ahead and repeat after me too. Finger, index finger, this wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Middle finger, this wrist pain.
Middle finger, this wrist pain.
You don't have to say the finger, I'm just saying
okay.
That to know where I am. Okay. Little finger, this wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Karate chop point, this wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Gamut point, this wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Close your eyes. Open your eyes. Look down right. Look down left. Circle your eyes. Look around the room clockwise. Keep tapping. Circle counterclockwise. Keep tapping. Hum, hum. Count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hum again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Go back to the eyebrow. This wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
This number 6 wrist pain.
Number 6 wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Under the nose. This wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Chin. This wrist pain.
This wrist pain.
Collarbone. This wrist pain.
Wrist pain.
Under the arm. This wrist pain.
Wrist pain.
Okay, take a deep breath, Teresa.
Okay.
And now, without hurting yourself, I'd like for you to position your wrist in the way that you did before and see how it feels.
Oh, my gosh. I easily hurt myself a while ago, and now I can't find it.
Can't find it at all?
It's just... It's down to, I mean, that's amazing. I even had acupuncture today, and it just wasn't even better. Yeah, it is very much better. I would say we're down to like a 3.
Okay.
And I did the same thing to try to get that joint to scream at me.
Okay. Okay. So let's go back to the karate chop.
Wow. Yay.
Even though.
Even though.
I still have some of this wrist pain.
I still have some of this wrist pain.
Some of this wrist pain right there.
Wrist pain right there.
I deeply and completely.
I deeply and completely.
Love and accept myself anyway.
Love and accept myself anyway.
Even though.
Even though.
I still have some of this remaining wrist pain.
I have some of this remaining wrist pain.
I deeply and completely.
I deeply and completely.
Love and accept myself.
Love and accept myself.
And I forgive myself for anything I think I might have done.
I forgive myself for anything I think I might have done.
To contribute to this.
To contribute to this.
Even though.
Even though.
I have this remaining wrist pain right there.
I have this remaining wrist pain right there.
I deeply and completely.
I deeply and completely.
Love and accept myself.
Love and accept myself.
Anyway.
Anyway.
Okay, we're going to the eyebrow. This remaining wrist pain.
This remaining wrist pain.
Side of the eye. This remaining wrist pain.
Remaining wrist pain.
Under the eye. This remaining wrist pain.
Remaining wrist pain.
Under the nose. This remaining wrist pain.
Remaining wrist pain.
Chin. This remaining wrist pain.
Remaining wrist pain.
Collarbone. This remaining wrist pain.
Remaining wrist pain.
Under the arm. This remaining wrist pain.
Remaining wrist pain.
Okay, take a deep breath. And just go and position it again. He said it had gone from a 6 to a 3, he thought. Where is it now?
Even more of the sharpness is out of it, and it's more, I can position it, and it's back like down to a 1 or 2. I just notice now.
Okay. All right. So my encouragement to you, this is great. You go from a 6 to a 1 or a 2,
yeah.
And it really didn't take that long. So my encouragement to you, just in the interest of time, is that you go through the tapping sequence again. You do the setup phrase, you know, even though I still have some remaining wrist pain, I deeply and completely love and accept myself, and go through the process again. And it could be possible that you could completely get it down to 0. Because,
yeah.
You know, you said right now it's like a 1 or a 2, a little bit hard to find. So that's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome because it's been very annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you just say again, when I'm tapping the finger, say again which side of the fingers when I go through?
Okay, so are you right-handed or left-handed?
Right-handed.
Okay, so I'm looking at my, I'm holding up my hand in front of me with my little fingers kind of spread apart, and I'm looking at my thumb and the thumbnail part. The thumb part that's closest to my body. Do you understand what I mean?
It's the outside of the thumb.
That's closest to my index finger. But the one that's facing or closest to my body. That's where you tap.
Okay.
On the thumb, same thing with the index finger. It's almost like you're saying you're tapping on the right side of your thumb, your thumbnail, that area, the right side of your index finger. Right side.
The right side of the right hand.
I'm tapping on my left hand.
Okay.
And if I was left-handed, I'd be tapping on my right hand because that would be easier.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
I got it.
All right.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you for volunteering. I just appreciate it very much. I think it's great.
Thank you both. That was pretty impressive to have already done acupuncture and then kind of go into this tapping with your own self, you know, accessing your own healer within,
mm-hmm.
and just activating that with such a simple thing. It really moves emotions and energy.
Right.
You know, that can actually change something physical that's going on. That's very very empowering.
Yep.
So thank you, Cheryl. And I'd like to open it up to other people who are using EFT, especially regarding coaching, not so much yourself, but if you're using it coaching or in groups, because we want to look at how we can apply that. And I do have a question, Cheryl. When you do teach a Circle of Life group, do you just teach these principles and then have people just choose an area that they want to work on, or do you always do the breath as a first level, or do you just, you know, depending on the group, do you kind of just jump into it and have them work on something they want to work on their own and they just kind of tap to themselves? Or
So far what I've done is I've done it, I've introduced it with the breath because everybody breathes.
Yeah.
People are familiar with acupuncture, but they're not familiar necessarily with a technique like this. So I want to create safety for them.
Mm-hmm.
So we do the breath, and then people can choose. People typically will choose in the group. EFT is something I do about three meetings in. So people are familiar with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They feel
mm-hmm.
safety there, and at that point they. I introduce it to them, and then we do it. Each person has something that they're working on, but there's something amazing about borrowing benefits. Julie alluded to that when she said that she'd been, you know, that she was feeling good, that she'd been tapping along before when we were tapping.
Mm.
So when you are tapping in a group, that's one of the things that happens, is that even if you're not working on the same issue, you can, like, have this, instruct people to write it down and assess it and rate it and do all of that, and just tap in support of the individual and whatever they're working on, and it's pretty wonderful and amazing how that borrowing benefits helps the other individuals working on whatever they're working on as well. So I think, just to go back and answer your question, we do it as a group, but we do individual. Each person is working on something individually, but we're working on it as a group. I don't know if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's, you know, what we find in anything, and it's like prayer.
Yep.
When people gather together in prayer, and we gather together to do Qigong or any kind of
mm-hmm.
practice, we actually build an energy field, and we all start. It helps all of us to kind of actually go to a new vibration, you know, to raise our energy level. So that's why it's really great to do in a group.
It is. Very powerful.
Anybody else still on the phone that has been using it at all or has a question about how to apply it? Okay. Well, it's *6 to unmute. Sometimes people get a little stuck there. But, again, I think it can help so much with coaching because so much of the time people are energetically stuck. And this is a great way to move energy because that's really what it's doing. It's moving energy. It's like that, like a flow of water. It might have a big boulder in it, and we start moving the boulder, the free flow happens again. So it's all about moving energy, fresh energy, like you talked about capacity building. It's like we have more room for something else. We have more opportunity rather than being contracted. Mm-hmm. When you're contracted, like a hose is kinked or contracted, not much water can flow, and we want to unkink it, and there's more fresh water that can flow. So I really like how you have presented this so that we can use this really with any kind of condition.
Yeah, that's, I think, one of the exciting things about EFT is that it really is something that can be used in so many different areas. I spoke to this a little bit at the beginning, watching folks kind of struggle with maybe their self-talk or their fears about making changes or, you know, self-esteem issues or, you know, so many things that EFT is such a wonderful tool for.
Yeah.
And to support people. And the other piece is, I love that people can learn this, and that they get, that it's portable, that they
mm-hmm.
can use it with them. I just absolutely, it's one of the things I get so excited about, is that this is something that they have, that they can use if they choose, or, you know, maybe it plants a seed and they use it later on or whatever. But I really, really love that EFT is that something that they can always have at their fingertips.
Mm-hmm. And also, when I teach people, because sometimes they're in the middle of a work day, or they don't really have much time, or it looks kind of, they feel a little like they're, you know, look like a monkey by, you know, tapping underneath their arm.
Yeah.
Is just to, you know, there's points that in our, in the participant guidebook, there are some different points.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the points are all about, there's energy gates and energy points and acupuncture points, you know, hundreds and hundreds of them throughout the body. And so if people feel like, you know, if they're going to be hesitant to do it because they look funny or whatever, I just tell them to, you know, maybe just do the karate chop under their desk, or, like you said, the collarbone points, or find a point that they can either rub or tap. And even if it's not the full set, I think the full set does get the energy going, but if they're not going to do it at all, it's better just to do a couple minutes of something they're going to do.
Yes, I agree. And, you know, even tapping your fingertips together,
mm-hmm.
I do that, and sometimes I'll be sitting in a situation and I'm using my thumb on each one of the, just my fingertips. Sometimes I use it if I'm having difficulty falling asleep. I will imagine going through the tapping points. I'm familiar with them now. I couldn't do that initially, but I can imagine going through and just doing the sequence. I do it to myself because, you know, if I'm trying to fall asleep, I don't want to be like
tapping.
So you can do it. You can, it can be, you can imagine the tapping points.
Mm, I like that.
So,
that's really good.
Yeah.
Because everything is, the body is listening, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we are energy bodies, so our thoughts actually do create experiences physically. So just by visualizing it even can help you. I thank you for sharing this. A really good point.
Yeah.
And this
well,
is,
any closing questions or comments?
This is Linda. I had just one closing comment. I think it was a fabulous training. I really enjoyed listening to the way it was presented. If anybody is ever interested in doing some EFT in a group setting that has to do with releasing the inner critic that we, mm-hmm. most of us, are pretty familiar with, that negative voice that's inside us that tells us, you can't do it, you're not perfect enough. There's a great script for using EFT and inner critic work out on Gary Craig's website that's been written by Lauren Fogelman. And, you know, I've adapted it for my own use. And what's really good about it is that in a group, when I have people kind of catching, you know, really thinking about what are those negative, you know, thoughts that run through my head, and how can I catch those and transform them? Using EFT along with kind of transforming that inner critic, or actually, you know, for some people it's a whole committee, or as one client said to me, it's a posse. She called it her posse. Is really powerful, and you can take the whole group through it at one time. So people are actually all focusing on the same thing using a script.
Excellent, Linda. That's so excellent. I love that. That's great.
Yeah, if you had that script, or either one of you had that script, I understood that maybe that website, that he was discontinuing that website.
It hasn't been discontinued yet. It's
not yet. But it'd be great if we could have that script, because I thank you, Linda, because that is the most probably, I don't know if there's anybody who doesn't have an inner critic.
Exactly, and people seem to love that work with the critic, and it really seems to move people to a new place. I have the script. I downloaded it to a Word document, so I can send it to you, Rebecca.
Oh, great, and then I can post it on the website.
Yeah.
Also send it with it. Yeah, thank you. That's a great idea, because like you said, everybody deals with it, and this probably is probably the number one thing that keeps us from moving forward.
Right, and part of the whole deal is recognizing that, you know, even though this inner critic has prevented you from reaching your goals, recognizing that it's being protective in some way and appreciating that critic for trying to keep me from getting hurt. So it's kind of making friends with your critic,
mm-hmm.
way of transforming. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We look forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anybody else before we close?
I just wanted to say thank you very, very much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cheryl.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And you know that this good work is going to go out to serve hundreds and hundreds of people. So thank you for your generous offer and service to us.
Oh, you are so welcome. It's just my joy to do this. And I, you know, if there's any other way that I can be supportive in this, you know, this area, if people have questions, Rebecca, you have my email.
Yes.
You know, so if you're wanting to email me and ask, you know, if I can be further further assistance or support, just let me know. I'm happy.
Okay, we will. So thank you all, and look forward to our next gathering. Good night.
Thank you, Rebecca, for setting it up.
You're welcome. Good night.
Good night. Good night.